write this book at around 16. Mm-hmm. It was therapy.
Wow.
Just writing was therapy.
So you've been writing this book for how many years?
I wrote, well, on and off, about 10 years, just writing. Yeah.
And so with bits and pieces. Without getting too deep into the incident, right? Because I know you don't want to get too deep into it because you're going to get all emotional. How long did it take you to actually put pen to paper? And did you know it was therapy when you wanted to put the pen to the paper?
No. I didn't know it was therapy at all. I had no idea. I just knew that I needed to express myself. Like I said, my parents, they're Caribbean, so it was really hard for me to express how I felt, just to talk about things. You know, they would tell you, everything will be all right, everything will be fine, you know, but I needed to talk about how I felt. Mm-hmm. And when I picked up my pen or my pencil and I wrote things down, I felt a relief. I felt great. I felt like, okay, this is good. This is something great. And I would just write a little bit, just mm-hmm. a little bit a day, mm-hmm. just, you know, just to make myself feel better, you know, so that way I expressed the pain, you know, so...
Do you notice a difference between Caribbean parents and American parents? Like, what's the difference? Because I keep hearing you say my parents are Caribbean. Yeah. So what about those parents, those Caribbean parents, was different than these Americanized parents?
Caribbean parents. Oh, my goodness. Caribbean parents are very strict to me. And they don't want you to express yourself too much. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. Like, my parents were just like, you know, just, it's okay. Everything's fine. They kind of like you to brush things under the rug a little bit. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. And they don't want you to tell anybody your business kind of thing. You know? They rather you keep it to yourself. So... And American families, to me, they're a little more free. They will be like, you know what, you know, let's talk you about just, it.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Because I think it all depends on, like, your upbringing. I think it depends on the strict rules of the parent in general. Or the rules of the parent in general. Like, I understand that Caribbean parents are a little bit more strict. Yes, because of the culture. The cultural background mm-hmm. of Caribbean parents. In America, everything is so easy for you.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of Caribbean parents or Caribbean people, when they first come to America, or before they come to America, they think everything is going to be so easy. That's but right. then when they get here, they're like, oh my God, like, everything is so expensive. Mm-hmm. But one thing a lot of Caribbean people notice, and this is off the subject a little bit, when they first get here, it's so much food being wasted.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of food being wasted. That's food everywhere. So it's like, with that said, we as Americans take advantage of the lifestyle that we live out here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's why things seem to be so loose sometimes.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. You know, I mean, it's good to communicate. It's good to, you know, express yourself. I mean, you know, Caribbean parents, you know, they learn as they adapt to being here. They understand, okay, we're not in the Caribbean. You know, there's different things, different outlets, you know. And with that being said, they just adapt.
Yeah, that's cool. But the difference is still there because there's still a cultural difference.
Yeah.
And so... You wasn't able to speak. You wasn't able to talk too much. So you allowed certain behavior to go on for a while.
Yeah, I was just quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, so I kept to myself kind of thing. You know, high school, junior high school. You know, and I just wanted to I wanted to speak about it, but it was just against the rules, if I should say. It was just not something that... My family would advise me to do, my mom, my dad, my grandmothers, you know, my aunts, they would always just say, no, just keep it to yourself. But I felt the need to express. But, I wanted to talk to people.
But did anybody else know about the situation itself? Because you were saying
only my family. Only, yeah.
But your family knew.
Yeah.
So this is part of the thing that I did not know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a large part of my life, I was like living like a street dude, I mm-hmm. guess if you want to say, and I didn't know that so many young ladies and so many girls would be in touch until I started to have relationships and started to hear a lot of stories
right.
from a lot of women. I'm like, you too.
A lot of women go through it. A lot of women.
Yeah, and then what's crazy is by me saying you too, I began to understand the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are against it. I understand what they might say, but you have to understand, or what I had to understand, is that many women do not want to say anything about what's going on because of their family mm-hmm. or threats from the accuser. From threats from the one being accused, mm-hmm. right? And that's what created that Me Too movement.
Well, yeah, because you're not really, as a woman, I feel like when you're younger, you feel like, okay, well, I shouldn't say anything to, you know, other females. They might look at judgments. You feel like you're going to be judged. The first chapter I wrote that, you know, just me writing this down on paper just to make it real, I felt ashamed. I felt like, oh my goodness, this doesn't feel like something I should even be writing down. I should just bury this in my mind and, you know, leave it alone and just act like nothing happened. But I had to just, you know, be in touch with my reality, and so that way I could heal. So I wrote it down, and I think I told like two girlfriends, you know. They were mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, it's okay, you know. I don't know if they shared their stories with me, if they were honest then, but I just had to let someone know that, hey, this is what happened to me, you know, this is the reason why I'm a little bit secluded, you know. I was always like, I had a little hermit vibe to me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wasn't too outgoing. And I just, because I had to go through my own healing process. And little by little, I just, you know, as time progressed, as time went by, just me writing it down and understanding that, okay, listen, it happened, so what? We're all a part of this world. There's so many people in this world, so many women. We have to somehow realize that we are connected, and we should share our stories mm-hmm. with other women and men too, so they can understand that, okay, you know, there are young women out there that, I mean, like, what is it about sex, you know, for a man that's older, or a man that just sees a woman as a sexy object, mm-hmm. what is it about sex that makes them feel like they need to take it? You understand? So
let me not to cut you off, but yeah. let me ask you that question. What do you think it is about men, and what do you think they see when it comes to sex? Or is there a different type of man that sees sex a different type of way?
The different types of men, you know, some men, I guess, in their mind, they believe that, well, hey, this person, I think people could sense, men can mm-hmm. sense a woman if she's sexual or not. I don't know, maybe from a young age. I don't know if she's sexy. I don't know what it is. But some
keep your thought, because on the subject that we're talking about for girls who have been raped.
Right.
I think that a lot of men who rape younger girls may see them as a sex symbol, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that girl is already having sex.
Right.
That's a sick mind, yes. Okay? You got to be sick in your brain to be looking at a damn child to see something sexual about them. Right. But unfortunately, we have sick-ass people in this world. Yes, your thought, you can continue your thought.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe when they look at a young woman and they say, oh my god, like, you know, she's beautiful, and, you know, without her knowing that she looks good. I mean, we're young, so I mean, well, me, when I was young, I wasn't all into doing makeup and hair, you know, you're a young girl, so mm-hmm. they may see that sexiness in you and decide, well, hey, I don't care, I just like this girl, I'm gonna go for it, I'm gonna just take what I know she won't give me. Mm-hmm. You understand? And when you do, to me, when I'm thinking about it now, like, for a man to really just think they could just do that, you know, those sick men. Mm-hmm. To me, they just really just want to start you in this type of mentality of being more being sexy and being sexual before your time. They want you to just tap into that early, so that way it's corruption for the future. You know what I mean?
So you're saying that these guys that are touching and raping young girls is like they have, it's premeditated, like they set it up way before then.
I think in their mind they set it up. They see you and they set it up.
And they see you, they go home, they map it out, they see how they're gonna get you. You know what? That makes perfect sense. Because most men, I guess, who commit these crimes or acts should automatically know that it's wrong. So in knowing that it's wrong, they have to figure out a way to justify it. So in order to justify it, they gotta map it out behind the scenes and then come back and do some foul stuff.
That's it. I believe that's what it is. And because look, there's so many women I know, beautiful black women, white women, Asian, Japanese, you know, I know so many different women from different races and cultures, and they look at it like, okay, well, you know, how am I supposed to feel after that? Like, now I know what sex is. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's why in my chapter, this chapter I wrote, Sex Helped Me.
All right.
It's so, because I had to redo the process because I felt like I was curious.
Before you talk about that, because, you know, we got to professionally edit the footage and everything. I hear somebody's talking. Rapists are predators, and they know there is... rapists are predators that know there are very... They know that there are repercussions for what they do. And many, many men get away with it because of the shame and embarrassment that the female feels about it. Yes.
That's it.
And I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, they do get away with it, you know, and it sucks. But, you know, I spoke up. I had to... It was really hard, but you know, I came from Trinidad, so I came from Trinidad 12.
Trini's some happy people, I ain't gonna lie.
And I trust people.
Every Trinidadian I know is a happy person. I'm just letting y'all know that. But anyway, go ahead.
And then this incident happened when I was 13, so it was like coming from migrating to a new country, getting used to the cold and getting used to the buildings and all that. You know, I'm a nature person, I'm very connected to the earth, so. Having to deal with that, and then this incident happened because, you know, you're trusting, you don't know. It really sent me in a different world, and like I said, that's why I decided, like, okay, I don't know people here, I don't have much family here, my family in Trinidad. I'm going to write down how I feel, and I'm not going to stop until I finish this book, because I felt like it would help others, you know?
Okay. So going back to the question now. The question is, you said, well, it's in a statement in a question format. You said that you had to have sex in order to learn how to deal with it?
No. I felt like I needed to redo the process.
Redo the process.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's kind of weird, but okay. I felt like if I found someone I really liked, mm-hmm. I was interested in, and I was attracted to, I can plan to have sex with this person, and it would take away that feeling that I felt.
And what's the feeling that you felt? Did you feel used and abused or something? Or
I just felt
disgusting.
Okay. I felt ugly. I felt...
Okay, I understand.
Unwanted. I felt like, oh, who's going to want... You know, because you're a young girl. Like, I understand. My parents... Put it this way. My father took my mother's virginity and had me. Mm-hmm. They got married happily ever after. So that's, you know, in my mind as a young girl, I'm thinking
that's what I need to happen.
Right. I was supposed to get married. This guy's supposed to take my virginity. I was going to have my children. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So in my head, I was like, okay, this didn't happen. Okay. So I have to redo this process and allow myself to feel beautiful and allow myself to feel like, okay, I'm losing my virginity again. Mm-hmm. So that chapter, Sex Helped Me, talked about me actually having sex with someone I really liked and I was in love with. And I felt like, you know, okay, this is it. Like, you know, and it made sense. And it felt great. It felt amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel right away. I didn't feel ashamed. I didn't feel ugly. I didn't feel like I wasn't supposed to. I felt good. Like, I felt like this was my first. I put it in my head. This is my first experience. Mm. That's what I put in my head.
Past the, right. the first experience. Okay, so you came up with this idea on your own that maybe having sex or redoing the process of having sex would help you with what happened to you.
Right, and it did.
And it did, and it did happen. So did. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, I can understand that. Let's just take the rape out.
Right.
Let's just say you're a woman and you had a bad experience, okay? Right. The dude didn't get hard or whatever it might be.
Right.
Then the next time you have sex, it's kind of like you want to make sure that it's good.
Right.
To erase the bad stuff that you've
exactly
been through.
That's exactly it. That's
okay, all right. I got something right finally in my life. You know what I'm saying? I got something exactly right. I got something right. That is so deep. Now, would you recommend... This is a deep question now. Would you recommend that any other young lady or young girls or, sorry, ladies deal with their past sexual molestation or sexual predator experience in this way?
I mean, honestly, yeah, I do recommend it. Because you have to think about your mindset. I mean, you could either go... It depends on who you are as a person, you know. Mm-hmm. You could either go left or right. You could either go down a good path or a bad path. It depends on how you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like, okay, well, in order for me to feel great about myself and to feel happy and to know, well, hey, bygones be bygones, according to Caribbean people. It's in the past. Let mm-hmm. me go ahead and do it the right way. I can't erase what happened. I'm going to do it the right way and I'm going to feel good, you know, because after that happened to any woman, in your mind, you're going to think about sex. You're going to want to experience it. It's a topic in your brain now. You're like, okay, listen, this is sex. This is what sex is. Okay. You know, I need to learn more about sex. I need to do my research and understand how you're supposed to feel.
This is so deep. This is so deep because as a man, I'm going to tell y'all how I lost my virginity. All right. So watch this right now. Nothing happened to me. I didn't get molested or raped or anything, but I lost my virginity later on in life, right? Mm-hmm. I lost my virginity at around like 20, 21. Now, why did this happen? And this is going back to what you were saying. I was in a group home at the time. Mm-hmm. And everybody that was in the group home used to go to the pharmacy together. Well, like, we used to go to the pharmacy. I hope this dude don't see this live because he'll be like, yo, you blowing me up. Anyway, we used to go to the pharmacy together. We used to go to a lot of places. We used to do everything. So one day, my boy, I ain't gonna say his name, was like, yo, this girl gave me crabs, right? This is, you know, I didn't have any sex. I humped. Okay, we used to hump a lot. That's what the hell we used to do back then. We used to hump.
Yeah.
And dry hump each other's legs and shit, you know. But I never did anything. But my boy was like, yo, I got crabs. And they had some medication that you pour on the crabs. It was like a liquid. Mm-hmm. Right? And he poured it on it. And I, like, he actually showed me the little creepy crawlers. And it was like crawling up. But anyway, we was young. So he's like, yo, look at them shits. Look at them shits. And he was crawling up. And he was pouring it. Okay, I went to go have sex one day, another time, with this girl named Alicia. I could say her name because I ain't see her in mad years. So what, Alicia, what you gonna do? Okay? And don't nobody know who I'm talking about anyway because it was so long ago. But she was in a group home also. And her counselor... Sorry. My counselor dealt with her OBGYN. Is that what you call it? Mm-hmm. My group home counselor was the boyfriend of her OBGYN. So one day he came to me and was like, yo, don't do nothing with that girl. She got herpes or syphilis or gonorrhea, some shit like that. And so those two instances right there made me think that every time, this is some bullshit, this is crazy, mm-hmm. It made me think that every time you have sex, you catch a disease.
Oh my goodness.
So I didn't know that you could actually use protection to prevent a disease. I used to just think, all right, stick your joint up in there, right. You're gonna get burnt.
Right.
So that scared me away from having sex in general, which then kind of made me preserved and reserved as a man too.
Right.
Because I wasn't wilding out like that. And any one of my homies who's watching or anybody who's gonna see this live the next day, they'll be like, yeah, you right though, because we used to fuck all the hoes. And he used to be like, nah, I don't feel like I ain't doing that.
You know?
That's why I ain't never had no itchy scratchies. Yeah, half the niggas in this world had some shit.
Yeah, you thought about it. You said, mm-hmm. Hell no. Yeah.
Right.
And the experience, I don't know. You gonna elaborate or not?
Well, you mean my first time having sex? You said, are you gonna elaborate? Damn. So my first time having sex was with my cousin's girlfriend. Oh no, 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 no. Oh, he didn't say that on live. Yes, he did. Yeah. But she wanted to know what it would be like to have sex with me. That's what she said. She said that while we was in the train station, she said, I wanted to know what it would be like to have sex with Slim. And next thing you know, that's where the next couple of days I ended up doing something with her. But we ain't gonna make this about me and my sexual experiences around here. Okay, so now that you want to ask me about, you said that your first time having sex after being touched in the wrong manner, mm-hmm. was a great experience.
Yes, it was. You know, it was.
Did that turn around everything that you experienced, or did you still have that turmoil and that bad experience in the back of your mind?
Of course, I did. I did, but it was a step forward. It was definitely a great step forward. Girlfriends, you know, having guy friends, everybody that, you know, I was, you know, in contact with around that time, you know, redoing the process made me feel like, okay, because, you know, you're a teenager, you're having sex, you know, so you feel good, you know, you feel like you could communicate with your peers, you could, have a conversation about it in a better way. You know, you don't want anybody to judge you. You don't want anybody to perceive you in a certain type of way. You know, peer pressure and being looked at in a certain type of way. So, I just kind of buried it, but still, I wrote on how I felt. You know, I spoke to my girlfriends, you know, whoever I felt safe talking to about, you know, the incident, and I just elaborated on paper how I felt. And the chapter Sex Helped Me is one of my favorite chapters because I spoke about just the process of the thought process going through your brain, you know, at that point in time, just saying to yourself, well, hey, this is something I need to do. Like, I cannot just feel like, oh my God, like this happened to me and no guy would want me I'm not attracted.
So basically, sex can help you.
Sex can help you.
It could be a bad thing. Right
way.
But it could be a good thing.
Exactly.
So what if now this guy that you did something with eventually, what if it would have been a bad experience?
I don't think it would have been.
I'm saying, hell no, because that's because it happened already, right. But I'm just saying though.
But yeah, right?
Yeah, imagine if it was, then that could have been like bad experience, and you'd be like, I'm never doing this again.
I know, but no, it was, if it was a bad experience, hey, I would have tried again, to be honest.
Okay, well, you have taken what has happened to you, I wouldn't even say lightly. I would say you took it strong. You were very strong about it.
I'm a very strong person.
Yeah, yes. But what about the woman that's weak?
So that's why I wrote this book, because for the women that are weak, they need to know that, hey, this happens to, it happens to a lot of different women in this world. You have to just, don't let that change you from who you are. You know, we have beautiful souls. We're beautiful women. You know, we're good women. You know, don't let an incident that a guy just decide to just do this to you make you feel like, hey, I need to just be free. I don't care. You know, just lose faith, lose hope in the good men out there. You know, so yeah, they need to know that they could redo the process and keep that love inside of them alive. You know, mm-hmm. Don't lose that love. Don't lose that confidence in yourself. It might be hard, but you just go ahead and just say, listen, I'm going to be strong.
Okay, so going back to your book, mm-hmm. When you told your mother what happened to you, what was her reaction?
Oh, she was very shocked. She was very upset, and it was, that's going into a whole nother world, but you know, mm-hmm. It was just, everything just went, my mother and my father at the time.
Oh, so both, you told both of them. And yeah. You're used to seeing both of your parents together. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Okay, that's a good thing. That means you was raised halfway decent.
I was raised very well, very well. Even when we came up here, and my mother and my father, mm-hmm. they came up here for a better life, my mm-hmm. sister and I. And, mm-hmm. you know, they succeeded. I'm so proud of my dad and my mom. You know, they achieved their goals, you know, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I could have been in Trinidad. So they're mm-hmm. happy. They're mm-hmm. proud. You know, I feel great. I'm successful in the things in the genres that I choose. Mm-hmm, I'm mm-hmm. successful in it. So they're proud of me. They're first generation. My mom and my dad was the first generation to come here. And they understand that, well, hey, they didn't take the proper steps. Obviously, they didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I went ahead and I took the steps to heal. Mm-hmm. And I did it on my own. And every woman could do it on their own. They don't need...
I don't know. You really think that's true?
Yes, they can. It's nothing where you're supposed
so
to feel...
So if you had to give me some steps...
What are the steps?
So if you had to have 3 steps on how a woman could deal with what happened in her past, and more specifically or specifically speaking about being raped, how could a woman deal with being raped? If you had to have steps, 3 steps, a process, how could she deal with it?
I would say first thing first, God must be in the midst.
Okay.
You have to pray.
First things first,
you have to pray.
God must
be
in the midst.
You have to have a spiritual side of you. You have to tap in, like my grandmother, both of them used to say, find a church. You have or talk to, have, you know, maybe it might be hard, but you have to find a mentor. Find mm-hmm. someone that is positive and strong and can tell you, speak goodness into you. Mm. You understand? So the first thing you have to do is to just gather yourself so that way you can talk to God and talk to people who would give you that positive, you know, those positive discussions.
So step one, you need to have some spirituality or find God somehow. That's step one, okay?
Step one.
Step two.
Step two, you would have to just basically find outlets. Find positive outlets. Mm-hmm. Friends. You know, good friends, you know, talk to them, do things that you like, sports, hobbies. I remember just, I love playing tennis. Mm-hmm. You know, just
Black people, where is there a tennis court around here? No,
there's
actually a tennis court up the block from where I live.
I remember.
That's the neighborhood that I live in. But when you in the hood, where you finding a tennis court at?
Yeah, but you could Google the tennis courts.
Where in the hood?
I don't know.
Damn tennis court around nowhere. Around nowhere. But anyway, you found a hobby. So step one, you find God. Step two, find a hobby. Find something to do. Do what you're good at.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And then also step three. Step three, be yourself. Be yourself. Like, if you feel like, hey, like, okay, I'm a sexy person. Like, I feel like, hey, this happening to me made me feel like, okay, to be honest, I want to have sex again. And, you know, even though, because for women that go through these experiences, they think that, oh my God,
it's over.
I'm shamed. You know, me doing it again, my parents are going to be like, you had sex again after that incident? You know what I mean? You
didn't it's wait. It's a scary situation.
You didn't say, oh, let me not have sex. You see what happened to you was a bad experience, because people would be like, it's a bad experience. Forget about it. Don't ever do it. Become a nun.
I would think that. And that's why I was talking about how I lost my virginity, and I was talking about how I saw nasty things that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, nah, I don't want to do that. Sorry, I'm not doing that.
Joined the church.
Then when I did, but when I hit 25, I was live though. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my God, I lost my brain. But and even now, you know, I'm, you know, more reserved. I got a daughter now, so I want to be able to raise her right. I want to make sure she's good. So I got to make sure I'm not out there sticking up every grocery store I could find to stick up, if you understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? But going back to the book, you know, it's not easy for someone to sit down and write all of this and not being able to get the right reaction from your parents.
Right.
So after you told your parents about it, you said the reaction was that they didn't believe it?
No, of course they believed it.
They believed
just,
it, but
they were just heartbroken.
But
this way,
what did they do? They called the police.
Of course, police. It was, I don't even want to get into that, court. Okay. All that stuff.
Okay, you know, all right. What I mean? So they handled their business.
Yeah, they handled their business.
That's a number one thing too. All right, because there's a lot of women out there, or a lot of young ladies out there, that are not as fortunate as you are to have parents that believe in what the child comes to tell them.
Right.
You even got little boys now that are being touched by...
Of course, because today the roles are different. It kind of gets in kind of different. The women, you know, younger women are more sexual than... Mm-hmm. Back in the days, you know,
younger women are more sexual. So you're seeing a lot of the young ladies are, or a lot of the 21 year olds are looking at the 15 year olds.
You could say that. And then too, even the 19 year old girls, they're a lot more, even though they'll go older, they're, you know, 18, 19, 16, they're a lot more makeup, you know. Selfies, the social media.
So social media, phones, all of that stuff played a big role.
Because it does, it's delusion. It's what you see, you're seeing yourself as somebody you're not. And when you're looking at photos of you dressed up looking grown, you know, that, like I said, when I was growing up, I didn't have a phone to do all this, you know, selfies and dress up, do my hair, you know what I mean? We didn't have that. So the illusion wasn't so strong. But with these women today, these young girls, you know, it's there. So they're just like, you know, and they need also less communication, less talking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is online, texting. You need to have that one-on-one communication.
Especially with your people. Parents, too. Yeah. Especially with your parents and the ones you grew up with. You got to have some type of communication. Yeah.
There's sit-down communication, not just texting, you know, and... You know, FaceTime, you know, it takes away the energy, the raw feelings, you know.
There's a cutoff somehow from society. There's a cutoff from your brain being able to make the right decision sometimes when you all into your phone.
Right, and everybody's busy. So guess what? The only time people are not busy, time to have sex. Put their phone down, lock everything off. And then back to when it's finished, they're back on their phone. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, it's the illusion. And these young women, they're just like, well, you know, I have to be sexy to get that attention. Mm-hmm. I have to be free. I have to be more open.
What you think about? Because I got another show coming up where we're gonna be talking about certain things like this. What do you think about the over sexualization of women in a man's eyes, if you can even see from right. one? For example, right now when you turn on Instagram or when you turn on the TV, you turn on all of these things. First thing you see is a woman with a fake booty mm-hmm. or a fake titties. You know what I'm saying? She got something fake, fake lips, mm-hmm. fake nose, everything. Now, I'm not passing judgment, folks. Right. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying that that's what we see now all over.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of young ladies are seeing this and they want to do it now. Right now, is so many body augmentations going on, and it's happening on an increased level.
That's it.
Because of what TV is showing us. Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about booty shots?
What it is, like I said, it's the attention. It's the attention. Women, we want that male attention.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they're doing it for men. Because
much.
if you ask a lot of women these days, they'd be like, "I'm doing it for myself."
Of course, it's I'm for doing themselves it for, too. It's for themselves.
Nah,
too.
I don't
confidence.
Believe that.
But
confidence for what?
But when you think about it,
what you need the confidence for? You want a man to like, see you
that's
looking
it.
Good.
That's it. I mean, some women might say they're doing it for themselves too, and it is true. You're doing it for yourself too. However, but like I say, just it all boils down to the energy that women and mm-hmm. men, you know, mm-hmm. men is men and women here. We're supposed to be with a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, men supposed to be with a woman, women supposed to be with a man. So we, when it comes to, you know, that energy that we need from men, that's the attention. We need you to look at us and want us. We want to feel wanted. We want to feel needed. And well, I mean, yes, you don't have to have a beautiful body. You could just have a nice soul, a beautiful spirit, you know, shine from the inside out. But mm-hmm. then again, your man is going to be on his phone looking at the woman with the beautiful bodies. So obviously a woman is going to want to make her body get better. She's going to want to just, you know, go and get the booty shots and, you know, all this.
I disagree.
Thank God I never had to do none of that.
Facts.
Sure. But you know what I mean?
Facts. But look, I'm going to say from a man's point of view, just because we're looking at it and just because we're looking through the phone and we look at all of these booties like shaking all over the place and like, oh my God, this is crazy, it doesn't necessarily mean that we want a woman to go do the same thing that's our woman to do the same thing.
Well, they're not gonna know, because see, that means that communication needs to be so on point in a
mm-hmm.
relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A man must be able to tell that woman, like, listen, you're beautiful. I love you for who you are. Listen, all that don't matter to me. I'm going to look at it, but it doesn't matter to me. You understand? And she must believe you in order to just know that, well, hey, I don't need to go get my ass done. I don't need to go get a tummy tuck for my man to just give me that attention and that love that I need.
Mm-hmm.
She will be confident within herself because she's getting enough love. She's getting that positive feedback, you know, she
mm-hmm.
could feel it without him even saying anything, because you men can say whatever they want. She would be able to feel that love. She would know. So
yeah, I mean, you got some truth, but that's from a woman's point of view, so I'm not gonna even go that deep on that. But you know, part of us being here and talking about what's going on, we're talking about a book that Marika Austin wrote, because that's who she is. She is an astound author. If you read the book, you will notice that she touches on many different subjects, and she's also trying to help the young ladies, the young woman, or woman in general, overcome what has happened to them in the past, okay? If you've been a victim of rape, it doesn't mean you have to go in a corner and hide, okay? It doesn't mean you can't talk about it. All right. What it is you need to be free. You need to be yourself, right? What she said, what was one step that she said? You need to find some type of spirituality. You need to find some type of God.
Tap into your soul. You know, we're all on this earth. Listen, we're disposable. You see, COVID got us like dropping like flies. You know, we're a part of this big world, this universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, just tap into Earth and know that, well, I'm beautiful inside. All these things happen. It's hard when you're a young girl because you don't know that, well, hey, it's not the end of the world. As you grow, you know it's not the end of the world. But right. Think about it. As a little girl, you know, you have a daughter. I have daughters.
Right.
It's the end of the world. It's like, oh my God, what do I do now? You know, because it's in your head. So you have to know, well, hey, listen, I have to just really just be strong. Listen, I could just think about it and say, well, okay, I'm going to pray. Mm-hmm. I know if you don't have anybody that taught you how to pray, you talk to God, you say, listen.
When I pray, my prayers are just not like, you know how when people get on their knees or they put their hands like this and they pray? I never really learned that like that. So my prayers be like, yo, God, look, right? Check this out. Like, let me tell you something, all right? I can't take this no more, God. Like, you have to talk and be yourself. So be yourself when you're talking to God. If you believe in God, sometimes people believe that God is time. People believe that God is a higher energy. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. What she's saying is that you got to find some type of spirituality or some type of God in you to deal with what has happened to you in the past. Correct?
That's right. That's right. Now, the women that don't, they're women that went, you know, they don't have that spiritual side. And men.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they may just lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that, like, they're supposed to overcome it. They just go down a dark road, and then sometimes they end up not even living too long after that because they just feel like they just don't feel good enough. They don't feel beautiful. And I know women like that. I've known a lot of women that they just went down the other path and they just go on drugs. They just decide, hey, I don't really care about who man that I'm with. Whoever man I end up with, I guess that's the man I'm gonna end up with. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
How did it get like that?
In their mind, they don't believe that they are worth it. They don't believe that they're worthy. They don't feel inside that they're not strong enough. They don't, put it this way, they don't have anybody around them telling them, listen, you're beautiful.
Mm.
You can overcome it.
So my mother is watching right now.
Oh, hi, Mommy.
Hi, Mom. She said most mothers now want to be their daughter's friend.
That's true.
The mothers dress like their daughters. I don't see nothing wrong with that as long as they ain't dressing too freaky. But I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
You have to let a child stay in a child's place. That I do know. Yeah. Child got to be in a child's place. But now I understand what she's saying. She's like, a lot of mothers are not letting a child stay in a child's place. They want to be friends, so right. Which creates a friendship relationship instead of a parent and child relationship.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think that's what happens today. Yes, a lot of women who are mothers today. You're talking about young mothers today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they go into that. It's okay to be your daughter's friend, you know, but you have to still be a parent. You have to just know that, listen, I'm mommy and you're a child, okay, or your daughter. And, you know, you shouldn't really dress like them. You should, you know, dress like mommy, you know, you dress. Of course, women could look sexy all ages. Listen, you could look good all ages, 50s, 60s, but I mean,
when does it start? When can a woman start? When can a, well, I guess when they turn to a woman, right?
Right.
When can you start dressing sexy? When you become a woman?
Yeah, when you become a woman. Okay. When you
What about the 16-year-olds and the 17 and the 18-year-olds that want to put on something that may be considered to be sexy?
And if their mindset, I don't even want to say that. Yeah, if their mindset is not there, you could tell they're gonna have on something sexy and they're not gonna know how to handle themselves wearing that. You will know that they're young. You'll know that, okay, they have this on and they don't know the attention that it's bringing. They don't know. Well, you could look sexy and have nice, you know, fitted clothes on and still cover up and still look good and still look grown. But a 16-year-old wouldn't know how to have yourself looking a little bit more professional, a little bit more, you know, mature on the sexy side.
Here's a question I got for you. Mm-hmm. What role, and going, this is all tied into the book, what role does a young lady or a woman dressing a certain way play into them being taken advantage of or raped?
Okay, so you're talking about young women, girls, or you're talking about grown women?
Either or.
Okay, so grown women, I mean, grown women could dress however they want to dress. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything wrong. I mean, you're supposed to just know how to make it look good. I mean, depending on where
you said are. Dress how they want to dress. So yeah. You saying that... If now she want to come outside with booty cutters on, with the booty cheeks hanging out the side.
Booty cutters don't mean sexy. Oh,
okay.
That don't mean sexy.
What do you mean?
That means that you're showing your body. It don't have to be sexy.
But can it be, though?
It can be if it's dressed up the right way. Okay. It depends on the person. Sexy is not how you just have clothes on. Mm-hmm. Anybody could put on booty shorts and a top and walk. A man could do it. That don't mean he's sexy. I know a lot of homosexuals. So what I'm saying is, to be sexy, you have to just carry yourself. It is internal. And then the way you dress, you know, you're going to know that, well, okay, you know how to put things together to make yourself look good, and you're going to present yourself in that manner.
So are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it to attract a man? It's both. Why are you, it's both.
It's both, definitely, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's the connection that women wants. They want that connection. All women want that love from a man, that complete love. The ecstasy feeling, you know, when you make love, you feel that feeling. That feeling can be there.
I have
forever.
Felt that trembling feeling.
That feeling could be there forever. Mm-hmm. When you get married, when you find the one that you want to be with, and you feel like, okay, this is a guy for me, or this is a woman.
How do you know? Because see, I was having this conversation the other day, and I said, how do you know that it's the person you want to be with for the rest of your life? Because sometimes you sit there and you think that. But it's not that. We think we know that this is the person.
Right.
But this is not the person. And sometimes we see a red flag in the beginning and we ignore it and we let the shit go. And then 6 months down the line,
right,
you fucked up.
Now, you made a wrong mistake. This all boils down again to spirituality. Like, how do you view yourself? You know, the love that you have inside for yourself, you know, that love is going to be projected. So, and then two, you must have that love for the creator, for God. You must have that love. So with that energy that you have inside of you, you know, the person that you meet, you must know that energy must be there. They must have a spiritual side. They must be able to connect with you in a way where you just did. It's just a feeling you never felt before. Like just something about this person, it just gives me that feeling of hope and a future of just an abundance of love and ecstasy. You know,
well, you sound like you experienced this before.
Of course. Oh my God. Of course.
Because I thought that here's my thought process, right? My thought process is, it wasn't love if you're not with that person anymore. Because if you truly tell someone that you love them and you use those four letters, because love is a four-letter word like fuck and shit, by the way, okay? If you use those four letters and they put together real nice and you tell somebody, I love you, right? You have to really mean that from your heart.
But you don't have to love somebody and be with them. You can love somebody and not be with them. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's...
No, but then that's like having love for someone.
In love.
Okay.
Being in love.
Okay.
So, I mean...
It's a woman thing. In love and love is two different things.
It is. Being in love. So, if you're in love, then I guess that's when you're going to say, okay, well... You know, this person is the one. You feel all those feelings. I mean, you already love the person. Now, being in love with them is more of a different, a higher feeling to me. Mm-hmm. It's on a different level. Mm-hmm. You know, that means you want them around you all the time. You know, you can't get enough of them. It's almost like, you know, the little things they do, they make you smile, they surprise with, you know, these feelings. And
look at my face.
It's there. You have to want it. God gives you everything you want. How about that? And if you want
it's gonna
come. It's gonna come like that.
I agree with what you're saying right now. I agree with everything you're saying, but you sound like you live in a fantasy world.
No, it can happen. It happened to me.
Okay. I'm just saying.
It can happen. I mean, okay, so if it doesn't work out, that's what you're saying. If it doesn't work out, I've been in relationships. Mm-hmm. I have children. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work out. If it doesn't work out, doesn't mean that there's not another chance for it to happen again.
That's correct.
If it's going to happen again, it's going to be greater than what you felt before.
Okay. Well, you got a real positive way of looking at this.
You know why? Let me hold on a second. Let me just go ahead. Trust me. I have to put on a little gloves. My nose is getting dry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Trust me, because it has happened.
But, okay. You about to tell us how you fell deep in love?
No.
Because you about to come back over in the hot seat and you about to talk about your first love or whatever that was. You talking about how you fell deep in love. Somebody's talking. She's in lust, not love. Nowadays, females love by Cash App. Oh my God. Bro.
That's so not true.
He said females love by Cash App.
How about women that just make money for themselves? They don't need a man to give them anything. They don't need a man. I make my own money.
All right, so that... You want to get it? We gonna go down that subject.
So okay. Whoever said I'm in lust, like I do everything for myself, like
yeah. Well, I don't think they're talking about you.
For them to say it like that because they said she's not in love, that she's not in love.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're talking about you. I think we was talking about the idea of
because you know all I'm about stuff. To go in.
Nah, huh? Don't worry about it.
Because I'm
you
about
can't...
to say, listen, don't come for me.
She said, don't come for her. Don't come for her.
I can teach you a few things.
Look, let me just explain this. Let me see who's what's up, Lish. Cash App is the key to their heart. There's somebody else. Now this is a woman.
Yeah.
It's a Muslim woman too, by the way. Cash App.
I wish because I mean Cash App is but you know what?
But I'll you started honest. Up OnlyFans though.
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to talk about these things.
And guess what?
In a OnlyFans setting. Right.
OnlyFans is not only for busting it wide
exactly.
open. Like
it's
everybody
not.
Thinks that it's for busting it wide
it's
open.
It's not. You could talk about these things. You could talk about the sexy parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but you're getting away with murder though, because the dudes that's joining your OnlyFans everyone, is thinking they about to be like, ooh,
listen,
I've been looking at her for about
is there. Everybody got their own little secret thing that they do. The illusion is there. I don't care what everybody say. You have to know what you're doing, and I don't have to prove it to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So with this whole situation, people would think that, okay, well, oh, she look good, or she just like money, or she, or whatever, or, you know, she need a guy with money, whatever. You know, I've been with different types of men, you know. It doesn't, to me, you may not know, but I'm the type of woman that if I don't connect with you on a spiritual level, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
In order for me to really open, bits and pieces
mm-hmm.
in order for me to really I'd rather not just bits and pieces let's just say bits and pieces I'm not
so you let little you let out bits and pieces
mm-hmm.
So is that like a wall?
I would say, you know what it is, just put it this way. You gotta protect your spirit. You gotta protect your soul. It's a lot of evil and demonic people in
all
this
right.
world.
All right. Well, I'm going to now you about it. We about to get deep
no,
on this. We about
I'm
to get
tough.
We about
I'm
to get
tough,
we about to get
so,
we about to get.
Listen, I don't want nobody. People could say what they want to say. I don't want. I have to protect that.
All right. We about to get deep on this on that just a little bit. Okay. We about to get deep on it a little bit. Okay. So it seems like you have read the Bible a lot. Or you have been taught in a Bible setting
mm-hmm.
on how to become one with yourself or be spiritual in some type
Why
of way.
Why you say it like that?
Oh Bitch, don't make me laugh. Wait. I'm trying to be serious over here. So I'm going to tell you something. I always tell my mom this. I tell her husband that. I tell a lot of people this all the time. I tell the people this at my job, all of that. I tell people this all the time. Mm-hmm. You only got to ask God once to protect you. You only got to ask God once to guide you. You only got to ask God once to lift you up. You got to ask God once to bless you. Why do you only have to ask God once? Because if you ask him once and you already believe, it's the word.
That's the word.
You already believe that you're going to be blessed, then you don't have to ask again. Now, I had a rough goddamn life, but I've been blessed the whole
time. And you know what?
Right now, I'm truly blessed. I ain't going to lie. I'm truly blessed right now. But throughout the years, people be like, damn, you've been through this? You've been through that?
Same for me. People do that to me. They just, they're so, I mean, they look at me for who they see. Mm-hmm. So that's just what it is. That's the world we're living in. So that's what you project. That's how people, they you've been through this. I would never know. Like this one lady I showed her at Sephora, did her makeup, helped her with her makeup. Because, you know, we COVID, we can't touch. And, you know, this is my way of helping people, you know. I'm into nursing and I'm also into cosmetics. And I showed her and she was like, oh my God, you wrote a book about this. And, you know, she's like, I'm going to purchase it and I'll buy it and I'll read it. Like, you know, women need to... they don't believe, but if you know, if I'm outside looking crazy, they just gonna be like, oh yeah, you obviously you've been through some things. You know what I mean? Perception is important. You have to be intelligent.
Just to touch on this subject a little bit, not to go on a tangent, and I always because I was listening to what you were just saying, and you were talking about your book to someone while you're in your 9-to-5. And a lot of people are scared to promote their personal things while they're at their 9-to-5. And you know what? It's a scary situation because sometimes you don't want to get fired talking about what you do in your personal life on your 9-to-5. But let me tell you something. It's 365 days in a year. Don't let one mess up the rest. Nobody's saying you're going to be working at this job for the next 10 years. So you know what? Where you could slip that shit in. And tell somebody about what you do. Do it.
Of course.
Because that same person that's at your 9-to-5 that's questioning you might end up blessing you and taking you out of that 9-to-5 and giving you something else.
And that's exactly, that should be the purpose of it, of talking to, because, you know, 9-to-5, you know, you work in for whatever minimum wage or whatever, you know, you never know who you will meet. You never know the type of person, the energy, you know. If I consider myself to be a very positive person, so if people are not vibrating on my level, it would be hard for them to kind of come in contact with me, have a conversation with me. That's how I put it. You know, sometimes people might gravitate towards you and talk to you about certain things and they're not really interested in that, but they want to feel out your energy. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, you know what? Take my card, you know, and then you put two and two together. It's like, oh my God, I'm looking for somebody that does this and does that. Next thing you know, God answers your prayers. Whatever you're thinking about, the positive thoughts that you're projecting out there, it's just like that. I mean, you know, you can really have everything you want in this world. You just have to just... be
put your mind
aware
to it. You gotta be. You gotta believe in. You gotta believe. Yes, you gotta believe in what you want to do, and you gotta be consistent with it, and you gotta go for it.
That's it.
But we have haters.
The whole world.
We have haters in the background. We got people that's watching, and you know.
There's so much haters. You know what? Guess what? We need haters in this world. We need people that are a little bit more, because you need to see the world for what it really is. I mean, the world is not peaches and cream. So we can't believe it's peaches and cream. Like, you can't get stuck
what
up.
I mean,
you know,
I just had to say that. I'm just like, it's just like, why did you just do that? 112.
You can't believe. So people, you know, and they would bring the reality to you. You know, you're supposed to grind harder. You know, people watching you don't want you to get where you want to be. So you have to just know, well, hey, I know there are people that don't want to see me succeed for whatever reason. Because, you know, it's good and evil in this world, honey. You got to know that. So
that's a fact. And you know, I want to go back to the book just a little bit because, you know, we got to end soon in like the next whatever minutes. But I want to go back to the book just a little bit because I want to talk about the subject that we talked about right before we went on a tangent, which was the over-sexualization of women and how that plays into the mind of a man.
Right.
Like, if... Let's just look at the scenario. And I'm not saying that anything is right in degrading a woman. No. All of those things are wrong. Raping, touching, all of those stuff without consent. That's all wrong.
Right.
But if I turn on a TV, right, I'm just giving an if, hypothetical. If I turn on a TV, let's say you take me out of, let's say I've been a virgin my whole life. Mm-hmm. Boom, okay? You show me some books. I know what sex is. I know what it smells like. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a couple of things, right? I'm extra dramatic sometimes. I know what it is sometimes. And then I turn on the TV, and every channel that I see a half-ass naked woman. I see a lesbian woman kissing. I see bra and panty commercials. I see a whole bunch of stuff that have something to do with a woman being sexual, okay? How does that make my mind feel as a man? This is not a question that I want you to answer or anybody. It's just rhetorical, like... How does that make my mind feel as a man? That's one, okay? And also, if I'm crazy or if there's something rewired wrong in my brain, is that going to trigger me to act on those nasty ass thoughts that I'm having?
Yeah, you know what it is? Really and truly, it is what women think men want to see. That's really just what it is, you know? In this world, men are supposed to be the leaders, you know?
That's right.
Supposed to be that king or the queen, you know, the lion, the lioness. And if we think that, if a woman think that, well, hey, if she's more sexual and she show herself, you know, and all that is going to get the attention, that's just what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And if the men are not saying to the woman, because, you know, I think sometimes men need to speak up a little bit more and mm-hmm. say, well, listen, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be this way. Instead of saying, oh, do what you want to do, whatever makes you happy.
Okay. Then. I got a question for you. This is kind of like a skirt. Just turn the corner. What would you want a man to say? Especially in approaching you for the first time.
Well, that's difficult because you can't. It's hard, right? Mm-hmm. It's so hard. Shit, for the first
time. She says, hard, right? Hell yeah, nigga. I'm a dude, so I fucking know how hard it is to be approaching somebody on some shit. She's like, don't talk to me because he ain't even say, girl, he gonna come over here and talk about how you doing. What do you mean, how you doing? Like, I've seen so many messages on Facebook or like so many statuses that says, I hate when guys say, what are you doing? Like, what the fuck you want me to ask?
Yeah.
What are you doing? That's what I want to know. I want to know what you're doing.
You know what it is?
I want to know what you're doing. Anyway, go ahead.
Women, to me, see, it's hard for a woman to just let their guard down. Like, because they just thinking that men want sex. You know? That he want me. You know, but sometimes I think, honestly, with all that's going on in the world, women, men are more natural than us women. Isn't that true?
What? Because say that again? She said men are more natural than women. How do you figure that?
Because we don't, I got my natural hair. I just get up in the morning and go like this. This is my real hair. But women, they, you know, we wear weaves, we wear wigs, we got to get our nails done, we got to, you know, look good and all that. And it's the illusion. I mean, the society, we're in the system. I mean, money, we need to pay our bills.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it is, like corporate world. I'm not talking about paying your bills by just looking good and showing your breasts and your booty. Corporate world, being professional, being able to talk to clients and, mm-hmm. you know, represent the company that you work for, being able to, you know, just have a relationship with people that you meet mm-hmm. and for them to trust you. You know what I mean? And women today, they just feel like, okay, well, they need to be all, you know,
dolled up.
And unfortunately, I say, that's a lot of
she
women.
She ain't got on makeup. She got on like cake that. Up. No,
I feel like no, I need to be dolled up at times. But for work, not at home.
But I'm saying you work doing makeup. Yes, so that's a little bit different yes. than somebody who does not do makeup yeah. for a living.
But, right, okay? That's it.
So now, you know, how you gonna be doing somebody's makeup and you ain't got on makeup? They're gonna be like,
yeah, that's it.
Natural. She don't know what she's doing.
Right. That's basically it.
Right. But if you didn't have to wear makeup, would you wear it?
My nursing field too. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I would wear makeup, but I wouldn't wear this amount. I'll do a little concealer. Mm-hmm. You know, eyebrows. We're good to go.
It looks nice though. It looks nice.
Thank you. But like skills. I was saying, men are more natural. So I think for you guys, it's a lot easier for you guys to just be yourself, mm-hmm. I would say, just to say, okay, well, hey, I'm interested in talking to you. And then a woman, like women might be looking more to see what you have, mm-hmm. you know, what is the quality, what assets you have, you know? I mean, some women are a lot more shallow minded when it comes to, you know, with a man, you know, if they have, you know, whatever they what they looking
material?
For materialistic sure. okay. stuff, you understand mm-hmm. And I think too, I mean, you know, there's some women and men, you guys too, I think if a woman, I don't know, but if a woman don't look a certain type of way, you don't really want to deal with her. So the first connection needs to be right. Like
I don't know because look, let me tell you something.
Look good and oh he look good.
You want to hear something crazy?
Then
you want to hear something crazy? I'm gonna tell you something crazy, right? So, I used to have a type. Mm-hmm. I used to have a type. She got to be thick. She got to be this, that, and third. Because, you know, girls with big booties love me. I don't know why they love me. They just love me. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can figure it out. I used to have a type. But then, as years passed, me and my cousin even talked about it. We was like, yo, she got to have the full package, right? So she could have a little belly.
And what do you mean by the full package?
I'm about to break it down right now. She could have a little belly, right? She could have a little kangaroo pouch, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. She could have a flat ass. Boom. Nothing. Okay. Absolutely nothing. She could have no chest. She could have a body, but be ugly in the face. But she got a great career, mm-hmm. right? So, part of this package that I'm talking about, right, mm-hmm. is having everything all together, right? Mm-hmm. So, you could be the baddest chick on the planet and don't have shit going on for yourself.
That's it.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Right?
Unfortunately.
Right. It's a lot of them out there. I don't want that because when you have that, sex is going to be good for a while. But then she start doing dumb shit that you don't like. Mm-hmm. And now you don't want to deal with her no more. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's vice versa too.
I think sex is supposed to be associated with love.
Okay.
Sex sometimes, I mean, for a lot of women and men, it's just for the moment. And, you know, it's neutral. It depends on how you use it. Sex is, it depends on how you want to use it. Use it for just the lusting. Use it to make love. And if you find someone that you're into and you know you're like, okay, well, you know, you're supposed to want to build on that.
He's over here having a full-blown conversation on the thing. So go ahead,
you're supposed to want to build on that, you know. You make you know, love, you know, I mean, obviously you're having sex, but it's supposed to be where you're connecting on a higher level, you know. You're helping each other feel, you know, the way this is supposed to just not be like, oh, well, like I'm doing what I gotta do and that's it. And then I'm getting mine. You know, it's a connection. It's supposed to be a real spiritual and mental, a high connection.
That's gonna be the last subject that we're gonna talk about. So we're gonna talk about that. What is sex? What is sex? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? Or what should sex be?
Okay. I mean, I think sex should be a way of becoming deeply connected with your mate on a different level.
Sharing souls.
You know, there's so much ecstasy and transfer of real emotions and love. Like, everything, love is it. You're supposed to be feeling that love. You're supposed to be feeling, if it's not love, you're supposed to be feeling that the person care about you. They want you. They need you in their life. You know, and I mean, yes, you can have sex just to have sex, you know, but I mean, if you know there's a greater feeling out there, if you know that there's a way you could really just be with some one person, this one person that's going to give you all that you need, that that ecstasy, I mean, come on, that attention, have you feeling like you're the most beautiful and handsome, or most, the most powerful person, a guy, you know, man, your provider, and love you, a woman that...
Well, damn, you sound like you made up a fictional character just now.
It's not.
No, I'm just... Because you talk about
me. It can happen.
No, I'm just saying, I'm a good guy. Okay.
You know, that's what sex is supposed to be, that way. You're supposed to feel, you know, loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, at times, you know, if I guess, you know, because I'm going to be real. If you mad and you don't want to feel loved, you don't want to feel loved. I guess that's in the relationship. That's when you're deep in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But if you, I would just say, I would wish that for everyone to just have that feeling of being deeply in love and...
I don't know, man. I just have to go back.
Having sex with someone that you really care about. And you right, have that good thoughts. To, not like you just have what you're going to have sex with somebody you don't really give a damn about.
I'm going to go back.
It's a transfer energy. Happens.
Yes, that's true. But not everybody knows that.
Come on.
So...
Well, hey, we got some people that know that on this live.
But some people are just deep into the idea of just having sex just to do it.
Right.
And it might be an age thing. Mm-hmm. Maturity thing. Because as I got older, like, even meeting younger women, I can't deal with a young chick. You 25? Hell, goddamn.
Because the maturity level is what you're looking for.
Right. But still,
but look, 25 and mature.
Watch this. Even just to fuck. I mean, just to have sex. I mean, just to fuck.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, even just to have sex. Even then, sometimes their mentality is not even up to par yet. And I'm like, what the fuck? What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I tell y'all the stories, right?
Yeah.
But let's see what the people saying right now. Sex should be an intimate thing between you and that person you love and care about, and it doesn't have to be that way. Sex is not associated with love.
But I mean, that's what people that just really want to have sex. I mean,
but why would somebody say that?
Because those are people that are not connected spiritually. Okay. To be honest, I'm sorry.
You're not connected spiritually,
sex,
man.
Sex does not have to be associated with love. Well, then I mean, that's for people that just, I guess, don't care about themselves.
Wait a minute.
Don't care about the people that the person that they having sex with, or you just know it's the people. I mean. Hobby, if it's for a hobby, there are different type of people in this world.
No, but all right, I understand
people
what you're saying.
People that is for a living.
All right.
So, I mean, those are people, so it doesn't have to do with love. But people like me now, I mean, who are different from those people, sex does have to be associated with love if you're on a different level, a different realm in this world, if you're not on that level.
So, when you have sex, folks... Make sure you know that you are sharing souls, okay? You're sharing souls. You may not see it that way at first, but it can happen. Next thing you know, you walk around angry and shit, burning up the pancakes in the house. You burnt the goddamn bacon. You can't make the eggs and shit right. You know why? Because you're fucking angry. Why? Because you was messing with the devil in the next room.
Listen, as long as they have a good spirit. I mean, it depends on what everybody...
Burning up
people
the eggs
could do what they want to do. I mean, this world You make your decisions. You live how you want to live. I mean, I'm not gonna say people need to live the way I live. You know, people have to do what they need to do. And experience will teach as you grow and you become wiser. You may want some one person as you get older and you realize things are not gonna be the same. You know, you're getting older. I mean, I see them every day: old women, old men, nursing field. You know, that's it. You know, they want someone to be there for them. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be about,
that's a fact.
Just, you know, yes. Yeah, sex without love, shit ain't going to be working no more when that's right. The case.
That's right. That's true.
You could be how old and still preserve your body, because I know women
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of my relatives are like that, you mm-hmm. know.
It'd be mad they old, but then their body look good. They'd be like, body. I don't want to touch nobody. I don't want to mess up my shape.
And the
shape.
Man they end up with is younger than them, and they look at them, and you look at it like, wow, look at that. My aunt's mom, you know, my mom. Mm. You know, people, it's like, wow, because your body
is preserved.
That's
black people in general.
Yeah, but it has to start in your mind. Mm-hmm. If you don't think about that, you just feel like, oh, you could just, you know, sex just to have sex.
Anything, yeah.
Eventually, you're not going to have those feelings, those passionate feelings anymore. You're not. It's just gonna be like, huh?
What do you think about two people who are very busy? Mm-hmm. What about two people that don't have the time, and they come to this conclusion like, okay, you're always busy, I'm always busy, but when we get together, let's make love.
That's beautiful. You're connected. You just know that you're busy.
Okay.
You know, that doesn't have any, because you know.
So are you able, can you create a relationship off of two people being busy?
You have to be able to communicate and tell each other how you feel. I mean, busy, 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 but don't talk, don't say how I feel. You have to still grow and get to know each other.
Mm, mm, mm,
correct?
Mm.
You have to know the person you're dealing with, because God forbid something happens, shit blow up, then it's like, bye, peace.
Right, because I don't know you.
All the time you invested in all that energy, I'm sure, of spending time together is going to be out the door, because it's not going to matter when communication is on the line. Like, how do we fix this problem? How do we talk to each other in the right ways? Not like, F you, bye, I don't give a damn, whatever. Then it's like, who's going to be the one to say, okay, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, that must have that person in the relationship to be that type of way. So, yeah, you can still build from that. Because, I mean, once you've seen each other and connected with each other, that means that something is there. But that's when a situation arises, you have to be able to say, listen, let's communicate. Or even before a situation arises, let's talk. Tell me what you like. You know, express yourself.
I'm going to tie all of what she just said in a nutshell. Because we were talking about specifically a book. A book that has been written by this wonderful author, Marika Austin, okay, for Rape Girls. And I'm going to tie it all in for you, right? What we talked about today, we talked about respect for women, okay? Mm-hmm. We talked about respect for yourself, okay? We talked about sharing souls when having sex and not just having sex for no reason. All of those things make sense in a perfect world, but all of those things make sense. And you should teach these things to your young ones so that they won't grow up and be victims or the person committing the act in the wrong way. You see? Now, if we spread what we just spread today, then you won't have... I'm not going to say you won't have. Let's say there will not be as many, or we are trying to make a difference in the world.
Just trying to educate.
Right. God damn it, you just one word just took five sentences away from a nigga. Just goddamn, no nigga talk a lot and shit.
People, they're not too many duplicates.
Right, and once you keep educating, and especially sex education, but not just the dry sex education like this. It's a condom.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you catch. You can get a disease. No. Relationship. That's the purpose of this show. Relationships. Okay. Relationships and trending topics. That's what we talk about. Mm-hmm. Talk about relationships. When you teach your children how to build meaningful relationships, it may slow down the process of bad things happening to people, or it can take away some of the situations that may have happened or potential things that may have happened in the future. So you build these relationships in a positive way. You talk to your children. You let your children talk to you. You raise your children right, and things will be good. You got anything you want to add to that?
Nope. The nigga just be talking.
She's like, yo, he talks really a good. Lot.
I feel good because you know what? It's just all about expressing yourself. Nobody's perfect. Like, I'm definitely not perfect. Listen, and I know I've been through so much. Like, I've been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I've been brought up in a different type of way. And I have a connection with God. And I have a connection with the people, my ancestors, my grandmother. I just feel like I hold myself to a different standard. I try my best to be positive for my girls.
See the type of people I keep around me, you know what I'm saying?
I have two beautiful girls, two beautiful daughters God blessed me with. So I cannot allow them to see me fail, despite mm-hmm. what I've been through. Like, I mean, you understand? They were born here. They weren't born in Trinidad like their mommy. They were born here. Mm-hmm. They have opportunities. They're rich. They are so rich. They don't even know how rich they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mine. Spiritually, mm-hmm. financially, everything, because I'm building that for them. It doesn't matter what you go through in this world. I mean, you gotta dust your shoulders off. You have to say, listen, hey, it happened. Guess what? It happened to somebody else, I'm sure. And you know what? We have to connect with each other and help each other be brave enough. You know, just somebody seeing you be brave can help them just for a second be brave. It's just a second in your brain. Just you can mm-hmm. see it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Just take that minute for someone to see you. Listen, oh, okay. Understand what I gotta do. In that split second, somebody could know what they're supposed to do.
That's right. And that's why we here. That's why we here. We came to inspire the people.
That's it.
Okay. And you know, the show is coming to an end. So I just wanna say thank you very much for watching. This is the live. So you get a chance to rewind it and go back and watch the live all through the night. But you already know when you wake up in the morning or in the afternoon tomorrow, the live won't be there. So you are blessed, and we are blessed for having you watch the live with us. Red Couch Will Burn, Maurica Austin, the author. Go out, get the book for Rape Girls. Listen, let me explain something to you. I read the book, okay? This book is good if you need something to read to help you cope with what has happened to you in the past. Some of us may not have been able to cope with things that has happened to us in the past. If you need help with what you've been through, especially when it comes to rape, get the book, okay? For Rape Girls, Maurica Austin. It's on Amazon right now. You can download it on your Kindle. And guess what? You can download it for free if you start a 30-day free trial. Didn't know that. You even got to pay the bill to get it. You know what I'm saying? You could cancel the goddamn subscription right before the monthly bill hit.
Right.
Okay? So go out, get the book, enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the show. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Subscribe and like the page.